Be with you in the house of the Lord today here at Stockholm Community Church. We're continuing our series on the Holy Spirit as evidenced by that video. How many of you, just a side note, heard the baby at the end there? I've watched that like 7 or 8 times, and I just now finally heard the baby go at the end. I'm like, oh, so cute. Oh, it's good to be with you today. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We've been in the Holy Spirit for the last few weeks. Just a quick recap about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is with us in presence. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. This week we're talking about being filled. And then next week and possibly the week after with Pastor Eddie, we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because there's so much to the Holy Spirit. As I mentioned when I opened this up, my wife and I have been married for 17 years, 17 and a half now. We're closer to 18 than... No, we're still closer to 17 than we are to 18, because this is March. It feels like March was like 7, 8 months ago. But we've been married for quite some time. So if you and I were to sit down and talk, and me to just explain and just talk about my wife, I could not give all the information that I know about who my wife is in just 4 sessions of 30 to 45 minutes apiece. Or at least I would hope not anyways. And I've only known her for 17 years, and she's been in existence for, 29 plus years. So there's so much to my wife, and yet the Holy Spirit has been in existence since the beginning of time. So if I can't give to you the information I know about my wife in just a few short sessions, we can't give to you the information about the Holy Spirit in just these few short sessions. So we're just kind of hitting the tip of the iceberg in this sense. And we want to encourage, yet challenge you, yet prod, poke, and push you to dive into who is the Holy Spirit, to understand for yourself, to gain the information, grow in your knowledge. Just as our teachers tell our students, you should not just be studying at school, but you should study this homework at home, deepen your knowledge and understanding. We encourage you to do the same here at Stockholm Community Church. So a few weeks ago, we talked about how the Holy Spirit is with us. John 16:7 says, but very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. So we learned that it was a benefit for our benefit. Jesus left the earth. Because if Jesus stayed with us, it would take him 3 years to see 1 million people if he gave them just 60 seconds a day for a 14-hour workday. Most of us are done after 8, but if Jesus went 14-hour workdays, it would take 3 years to see 1 million people. So most of us probably would never even get to meet Jesus. And so that's why he's given us the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, when we come to know Jesus, comes to be a part of us. There is a relationship that begins. He is with us at every moment of every day. So we learn we must recognize that he is with us. We must recognize his voice. We must recognize the leading of the Holy Spirit. Last week, Pastor Carolyn shared with us about how the Holy Spirit we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, helping us to be witnesses, bold and courageous for the King, and to also live out the fruit of the Spirit through our lives. So there's so much. This week we're going to be talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, whether you have your electronic version or you have your hard copy, we're going to be in Acts chapter 1 this morning. Acts chapter 1. Father, we just ask that you be with us today, that your words would be spoken through me, your vessel, that you would have your way in us today. Speak to us. May we just long for more of you in our lives. We ask these things in your name. Amen. So beginning in verse 4, a little part of the way, Jesus said this. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then jumping down 2 verses to verse 8, he continues on saying, but you will receive power. Everyone say power. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Say witnesses. Witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Several weeks ago, the week before Easter, we talked about Jesus' triumphal entry, or what we typically in the Western world call Palm Sunday, right? Do you remember how when we talked about Palm Sunday, how the children of Israel, they longed for their Savior, for their king that they were looking for, to ride in a triumphal way, to ride on this gallant steed into the city, leading a procession of most likely soldiers, because they wanted their king to be a political king, a military king, to rescue them from their captors or those that they were enslaved to. And so in that time, they weren't really slaves, but they were under the Roman rule in that time. So the Israelites were looking for a king to rescue them from the ruling hand of another nation. And yet we realized and we contrasted their desire to what the reality of Jesus was and who he is, that he came in as a humble servant, in a lowly manner, that he rode on the back of a donkey. There was no huge, gigantic parade thrown for him, but the people kind of put it together, laying down the palm branches for the king, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. And so Jesus here is again drawing, in a sense, referencing back to who he is as the king. We see Jesus referencing the power, as we read there in verse 8:1-8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus was saying that his followers now would have the power. So the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, were looking for a king to have the power. But in this moment, Jesus is saying, don't look to the king for the power, because the king is going to give you the power today. See, church, Jesus didn't stay to be a powerful king. He left so that we, you and I, could have access to the kingdom power. Let me say that again. Jesus didn't stay to be a powerful king. He left so we could have access to the kingdom power. So let's make a distinction here. A few weeks ago in this process, we've talked about how the Holy Spirit is already with us, right? When we say, Jesus be my Lord and Savior, God says, all right, here's my Holy Spirit that I give to you. But yet Jesus here says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. Jesus further up said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. So let's make a distinction in this. And this is an area that theologians also wrestle with. So this is a portion of scripture that we could say, you know, you might think a different way and I might think one way, but it's going to be okay, because whether you think the power comes upon you immediately or we ask to receive the power, it's still going to come upon us. We have the Holy Spirit for relationship, and we also have the Holy Spirit for power, okay? So can we agree that whether we are two, whether it's one and one or two at the same time, it's okay that we disagree, but it's still going to happen, yes? Is that okay? All right, I just want to kind of give you, for me, there's a distinction here. We go to 1 Corinthians 6:19, it's up here on the screen. It says, do you know that your bodies are the temple of the Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? So this and this other portions of scripture is pointing to the relationship. So we have the Holy Spirit in relationship with us. We have him because of our new position. So the Bible says that when we don't know Jesus, we are an enemy of God. We are not part of his kingdom. But when we accept Jesus into our hearts, we transition to a new position. How many of you have a job or have had a job in your life before? Most of us have had a job at some point. So if you've had one job or many jobs, you've gone from at least the position of being unemployed to being employed, right? Where you got a title of some sort, whether it was shift manager or fry cook at Arby's or drive-through guy at Arby's. You know, that's a fast food restaurant in the United States that I worked at. Or whether it's a math teacher, as some of you are in here, or assistant principal, or delivery truck driver. We've all shifted to a position and a title. When we come to know Jesus, we shift from being an enemy of God to being his sons or daughters. We have now received a title and a position as who we are. It is now our new identity. Oftentimes we ask, oh, hey, welcome, you know, you're here. What do you do for work? We are interested in who people are for work. When we should say, who are you as an individual? Because God does not say this is your work. He says this is who you are because you are my son and daughter. That is how he looks at us. That is our position and our title because we are now members of God's family. So we have the Holy Spirit because we are part of God's family. Just like when Angela married into my family and I married into hers, I then became a brother-in-law. Or a son-in-law in her family, and she became a daughter-in-law. My grandparents were now her grandparents. My parents were her parents. My aunts and uncles were her aunts and uncles now, because she is part of the family. It's a transition, a position. So we have the position, which involves relationship, and then now in Acts, I believe Jesus is saying there is a power. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why power? Power is given to help us accomplish the Lord's will. As you read here, the second half of Acts 8, it says, you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. God wants us to have the Holy Spirit's power in our life to accomplish what he wants us to do. So just because you and I have been given a position or a job title at work, we then need our boss to tell us what to do and give us authority to go about and do it, right? Teachers, you need permission from your principal to actually go into the classroom and begin to teach. They say, yes, you know this. Here's your material. Go teach these students. We similarly need the power, the authority of the Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit to then go and do what he has called us to do. So there is a difference. Power is given to help us accomplish the Lord's will. There is a difference between position and power. Position for relationship and power for accomplishing to do the will of the Lord, what he has asked us to do. So can, in my thoughts, in my opinion, in my study, you can have the position with the Holy Spirit and yet lack the power to go about and do what the Lord has asked you to do. How many, oftentimes we try to accomplish things in our own life and okay, this is a good deed. God probably wants me to do this and yet it seems to fail. Or we know the Lord has asked us to do something and we just try to do it on our own in our own strength. The Bible says, lean not on your own understandings, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. We need, church, we need the Holy Spirit, not just positionally in our life, but through the power to accomplish what God has asked us to do. So turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, or look on the screen. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says this, when the day of Pentecost came, so today is the day we celebrate Pentecost. So imagine 2,000 years ago, this day is happening. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. Whoosh! There's violent, but I scared my wife. Came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. See, church, the day of Pentecost, many people recognize is the beginning of the church, when the church started. And God said, put his stamp, his gave them his power to go about and do. And what I believe that evidence of the power is this what the verse 3 says. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that came upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages that they did not know or understand, because the Holy Spirit was upon them in power. Now this area, this what oftentimes is referred to as the baptism or the being filled with the Holy Spirit, some folks, some churches kind of shy away from this because there's been a history of lack of wrong understanding or wrong teaching or even abusive teaching, an abusive behavior. And here at Stockholm Community Church, we don't want to shy away from that. We want to do our best to teach the Word of God in humility, going and referencing to the Word of God, then using our understanding and experiences. We know that people have used this in a wrong way. We know that people have used it to manipulate and to coerce people into doing things that they were not comfortable with. And we don't want to do that here. We want to allow the Holy Spirit to come in power through these evidences so you can do what God has called you to do. Not so you can serve us or serve the church, but so you have the ability and the authority to walk out what God has. So our desire as a church and a leadership in this area of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, our aim is to walk gently based on the Word of God and in humility. We're not going to just be people that lock ourselves in the office and don't answer emails or phone calls. But when you have questions and wondering and want to have conversations about this, we're going to be open. Because this is something that we should all learn and grow in together, right? We are a family here at Stockholm Community Church. And families that grow together stay together and get better together and are healthier and stronger. So we want to grow in this area, not force. So if you're not ready, that's okay. Watch the journey that we go on. Be on the sidelines. And when you are ready to jump in, let's jump in. Be a part of this journey. We're not going to force any of this upon you. Okay? Okay? All right. I hope everyone feels safe with that. That's like my Surgeon General's warning kind of thing that's there. You know, that bottom, like every website that you now click on, you have to accept cookies and GDPR kind of thing. This is kind of our thing. We want to navigate this in a safe way and in a healthy way so everybody can feel safe about this. So as we read the scriptures, as I read these scriptures and I do some diving and referencing and research, there we go. I was trying to, what is the word that I want? I just kept hearing Angela saying, I'm a theologian. I've studied the Bible. I'm a pastor. I'm not quite theologian yet. I don't know if I'll ever get there. To me, theologian's like way up here. It's like the guy or the gal that just devours it crazily. So to me, what I see, what I understand, there are four types of this tongues, the speaking in tongues within the Bible. The first one that you see here on the screen is tongues as a sign to the believer. So 1 Corinthians 14:22 says this. Once I get there. I'm going kind of old school today with my Bible. It's kind of fun. 14:22. Tongues then are given, are a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. So there's a process, there's a part of this gift of tongues, this power that God has given to us, because when we utter tongues, so in Acts, the beginning of Acts, it talked about how these folks in the upper room spoke in a language that the Spirit gave to them. They didn't understand it. As you read further in Acts chapter 2, Peter, the folks that were, the Jews that were visiting Jerusalem, like, man, these folks must be drunk because they're speaking in languages. They are Jews from Israel, from Jerusalem, and yet we're Jews from outside of this country, different nationalities, and they're speaking our language. They must be drunk. And Peter stands up and say, no, they're not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. He said, this is the Holy Spirit that has come upon them. So the Holy Spirit can come upon us and give us this gift of speaking in another language that the earthly folks, that we humans understand. I've often heard stories of missionaries that have gone to another country not knowing or understanding the language, and God gives them the gift to speak that native language to be able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I heard another story recently how this woman was standing in the back during a teaching at a church praying in tongues. She didn't know what she was saying. She was just praying and uttering. And at the end of the service, this gentleman got up and said, "Ma'am, you were speaking in perfect French." She goes, "I was? I was just praying in the spirit." He goes, "You were speaking in a dialect. I'm a Frenchman. You were speaking in a very ancient or an older dialect that I have not heard in quite some time in a perfect manner. And what you were speaking, you would speak a Bible verse, and then the moment that you were done saying that verse, the preacher would say that exact same verse." God, the Holy Spirit, uses us through speaking in tongues to minister to people, to help them understand God is for them and is real and his love is there for them as a way to witness and testify that he is there. So this tongues is there's a portion of it that it is there for the unbeliever. So that's a public tongue, someone that they hear out loud. There's also a tongues for public interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14:27, Paul then talks about that in our church setting, if we're praying and we're worshiping and all of a sudden you feel the Lord speaking to you and you utter out through your prayer language, this tongues, you speak it out, then it should be followed up by what we call an interpretation. That then God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to you, okay, someone uttered this statement in a language that I don't know, but then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is what it means. That then we would speak out for the rest of the church to understand. It's to glorify and edify the body, to help us understand the Lord in even more way. So there's the tongues that for the unbeliever to hear, and then there's the tongues for the church or for the believers to hear through an interpretation. Then we also have tongues for personal prayer. This is my, like, this is the easy spot to rest in for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it's my personal gift. Just like each of you have the ability for this personal prayer language, God gives us the ability. We see here in 1 Corinthians 14:2 and in Jude 1:20, God speaks to us and we have the ability to pray and communicate with him through this gift of tongues in personal prayer. And then I just kind of want to side note that in personal prayer, just like I just mentioned that when it's given out in a public and or a corporate setting, there's a need for interpretation. It has to be followed by interpretation. That's what the quote-unquote rules are. Paul establishes, hey, if it's given out publicly, there needs to be followed up an interpretation. Or the leadership then goes to that person and says, hey, don't give this word in tongues because it can freak people out. It needs to be followed up by an interpretation. And so if it's not an interpretation, then the Lord needs to give it to you. Otherwise, we need to be quiet about that because we have to follow the ways that God has for us. And so talking about interpretation, the Bible also encourages us in our own personal time when we're just praying by ourselves, we should also ask Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What are you speaking through me? Because God does want to reveal himself even more to us. And this is a heavenly language. These tongues, there's the human tongue that is a foreign language to me. So like, I don't know a lot of Swedish, very little, but I do know some, but I don't know Portuguese. So God could give me the gift of speaking Portuguese so that way Elisa could hear it for an understanding for herself if she didn't know Jesus. So there's the earthly tongues, but then there's a heavenly tongue. There's this languages of heaven that we read about in the Bible. So there's the tongues for personal prayer, and then there's the tongues for intercession. That's when God impresses on your heart to pray for someone. Intercession is praying on the behalf of another person, not just for yourself, but for someone else. God, I feel this heavy burden for Eddie, and I just start praying, and I don't know the English words to speak, and I just start praying in my spiritual language, just praying for Eddie, because the Spirit will begin to speak through me in that language. Okay, God, what are you saying to me? What are you saying through me in this language? So there's the tongues for intercession, for personal prayer, for public interpretation, and for the unbeliever. It's kind of a lot, right? It feels like drinking from a fire hose. Yes. It is a lot, and I did six months of a class in Bible college to try to understand what I know now, and yet I know there's so much more. So I know and understand that this is a lot. There are scriptures. We can dive more into this if you would like. But I want you to know and understand, just have at least the tip of the iceberg. There is a heavenly language. There is languages. There is ways God wants to use you, whether it's towards the unbeliever, for this church, or for yourself. God wants to speak in and through you in this heavenly language. In 1 Corinthians 2, we read that this gift of tongues, this idea that God has his language. God has his own language. And so it's like the idea of military, you know, so that we have a war going on with Ukraine. Lord, we pray that you would just intervene in that, even though it's been over a year. But I know, how many of you watched the movie way back in the day, Codebreakers or Windtalkers? The United States used Native Americans with their, I forget the tribe that it was. I want to say Navajo, but I'm not so sure. They used their tribal tongue to communicate with each other across the battlefield so the enemy could not interpret or understand what they were saying, because the Germans would, or the Russians also would understand the English that they were saying. So they were trying to speak in code so they could make their maneuvers militarily wise. So the military has their own language and ways to speak to each other, because they don't want the enemy to know. Just the same way, the same reason, God has his own language, because he doesn't want the enemy to understand. He wants us to communicate with each other in a way that the enemy's not going to understand, so he can give us an assignment, so he can give us power, so he can give us authority, so he can say, hey, speak into the situation in this way and in this manner. Ask, Lord, what are you saying to me? Because I want to speak into the situation. God has a lot for us. And he doesn't want the enemy to also know what's going on. Because we are in a war, church. We may not be in a physical war, but there is a spiritual war that is going on around us. There's a darkness. There's an enemy that we face. Satan is a true and live enemy. The Bible says that he is a roaring lion looking for who he can devour. He's seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. So we are part of God's army and his warriors. We're his family, but we're also in his army. So God's trying to speak to us and give us wisdom and understanding and discernment. And that's part of this prayer language that God has for every single one of us. This language is not just, this prayer language is not just for a select few. The gift of tongues in the public, that is a unique gift that are for specific individuals. The gift of tongues as a sign to the unbeliever, that is a specific gift that God gives. But all of us have the ability to access the Holy Spirit through a prayer language. All of us have the ability to access the Holy Spirit through his power. It is for all of us, okay? And so this morning, I kind of gave you a lot. I'll gladly sit down and have more conversations with you, study the Word of God some more so you can understand, listen to your questions. If I don't know the answer, I'll find the answer or answers, because there's a lot of thoughts on this process and this gift. But this morning, we at least want to say it is Pentecost. And Jesus said, wait for me, because I want to give you a gift, the power of the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses. And in church this morning, if that's it, I want to encourage you, ask the Lord for the power of the Holy Spirit so you could be his witness, so you can have his authority to do what he has asked and called you to do. This morning, we are going to take time to pray for that. If you've never prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon you in that sense, I want to encourage you to do that today. If you're not comfortable with that, that's okay. I don't want, like I said earlier, we don't want to force you. We really want you to do it, but if you're not comfortable or ready for it today, we're not going to force you. We're not going to make you. When you're ready, we're going to pray with you. We're gladly here for that, whether it's next Sunday or it's in the fall or whenever it is. But now what? How do we receive that power? How do we have access to it? Four things. First of all, you have to know Jesus. He has to be your Lord and Savior. You have to have acknowledged him. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've broken your laws. Forgive me of my sins. Come and be my King. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I accept you into my life. Help me to walk in the path that you have for me. So you have to have that. That's your number one. Second, in order to receive this power, there should not be a pattern of sinful behavior. Now hear me. I'm not saying there should be no sin in your life, because let's be honest, we are all broken. We are all fallen human beings. We all have issues. I've had attitudes this morning that shouldn't have been there, so it's sinful, right? We have all made mistakes, but it shouldn't be a blatant pattern, okay? We see that in Acts 5:32. We should not have a pattern of deceit or sinful behavior. No pattern of disobedience. So this morning, those first two require you to either ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior or say, Father, forgive me for this pattern of behavior. Help me to be free from that. If you need one of us to pray with you in that area, we will pray with you that God will bring you the freedom, because he does not want you to be chained and bound by that sinful pattern or behavior. So those two things you can pray for. Then after that, if you're ready for the Holy Spirit's power, then as Luke 11:11-13 says this, ask. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Your heavenly Father wants to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you got to ask. And then number four, you have to act in faith. For me, when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I remember it was at a youth camp in the state of Montana. Youth camps, Blair's could attest to this. There is like the first night of youth camp is when, you know, that's when the speaker gets people saved. That's when they give the gospel. And then the second night is like, you know, can't remember the second night. And then there's like another night that's baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then there's another night that is, what has God called you to do? And are there missionaries? Are there pastors? Are there business leaders? You know, there's like these set nights. And so I remember the baptism, the Holy Spirit night, where I showed Angela and Amelia, I believe. It was, if you're looking at the stage at the Montana Glacier Bible Camp, if you look off to the left part of the stage, there's a small little wall on the stage right there at the where the stairs come down and the wall is at where they meet. That's where I was standing when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, what I spoke then, because I had to act, the word says that we need to yield our lips, our tongues, and our vocal cords. We have to put it out there. We can't speak English. I can't speak English and Swedish at the same time. You know, we like to joke it's called Swenglish. That's what Elijah speaks a lot of right now. But I can't do English and Swedish. I can't speak two languages at once. I just mix them up. We can't speak our native tongue and a heavenly tongue at the same time. So we have to try. We have to act out in faith. And so for me, that's what I had to do. I had to just yield myself. What, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking to me? And it sounded really strange. It was atta, 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 atta. It felt really strange. I just heard that over and over in my head. But yet, as it sounded strange, there was this sense inside my body. It's like this, I've heard someone describe it like this velvety feeling, this smoothness, this softness. And it was, as the word says, it was the Holy Spirit bearing witness to what the Lord is speaking inside. The Lord was saying, yes, that is your language. That is what I have given to you. Atta, 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 atta. But it has since developed and it has grown. Just like Elijah's language in English and Swedish is changing from gaga, gugu. Now he's speaking sentences and putting both languages together. And so I'm like, what is he saying? I used to be the Elijah interpreter. And now I'm kind of like, I'm losing like 60% of what he's saying. Our heavenly language also grows and matures as we draw closer and as we allow more of the Holy Spirit in our life. So my heavenly language has changed from the atta atta and has changed over the course of time. You know, if I were to, like, how many renditions, how many changes have I had? There's been multiple changes, 6, 7, or 8 different changes, but it just kind of grows with me. As I use it, as I speak it, the Holy Spirit just pours more. So this morning, as we pray and as we pray for you, if you want the Holy Spirit to come on you in that way, it's okay if it's just a two-syllable thing, atta, atta, atta. It's okay if it's that. I can't give you the words. Only the Holy Spirit can give what he longs to speak and say through you. So this morning, you got to know Jesus. We need to be forgiven of any pattern of sinful behavior. We need to then ask, and then we have to act in faith. So this morning, for a few minutes, we just want to take an opportunity. Nyla and Megan are going to come up and play a song for us. And if you would like to take a moment and to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, myself and Eddie and Angela, we're going to be up here to pray for you and pray with you and believe with you that the Holy Spirit will pour himself out on you and speak through you in a heavenly language, in your own personal prayer language this morning. So let's do that this morning. If you would like to have that gift this morning, we just invite you to come. If not, if you're not ready for it today, that's okay. We don't want to force you, but if you do want it, come this morning.